Welcome back to Tango TV for episode 4 of Program B. And a slight preface, if you'll permit. Yes, it's with considerable sadness and with many a salty tear in our eye that we wave goodbye to the eponymous hero of the show, the founder of Tango TV. It was a storm that wreaked a pathetic fallacy on the day that he threw in the towel, and though we tried our absolute best to stop him, as many of you will know, there was simply nothing we could do. On the 20th of March, 2013, he quietly packed his bags and left. Now, I'd like to address some pretty startling rumors that there was a coup going on behind closed doors. You know, that Tango's leaving the program as a ploy made by me and Tarnsman to usurp the throne and claim Doom Radio for our very own. Now, this is simply not true. Tango doesn't actually own a throne, and even if he did, I don't see much use in it sitting around here in our Washington studio. And no, it's not about the money. I have money, lots of it. I'm a money tree. No, this was something else. Something we never saw coming. It's his own doing, and he has no one but himself to blame. God damn it, Tango! Today's episode of Alfonso TV focuses on a layman's approach to multiplayer, as our esteemed talker Du is forced to come down to the level of us single-player simpletons to discuss the bare bones of the multiplayer scene, the relationship between communities, a massive wealth of general ignorance, and so forth. It's very much an educational piece for those who are not familiar with the multiplayer goings-on in the slightest, such as myself. So if you're looking instead for an in-depth account of multiplayer with a panel of experts to flaunt it, and you don't want to hear ill-educated questions like, "So Du, are you involved with IDL?" then you'd best dig somewhere else. Otherwise, you know, kick back, crack open a cold one, I don't care.
Welcome back to Program B, Tango TV, Program B, Episode 4. It was supposed to be 3 originally, but for whatever reason, I can't remember. It's escaped me now. Due wasn't available, scampered off, something like that, for this multiplayer discussion. We'll blame it all on him. I'm sure he doesn't mind. And he is here now.
It's all
and,
my
Yes. He's here now at the Pre-Strappers Washington studio, Tango TV. Don't look it up. For a discussion of multiplayer. How exciting. Now, a slight preface to this discussion. Myself and Tarnsman, we're not the best versed. Is that a phrase? Can I say that? We're not very well versed. That's better. A multiplayer. In fact, just before this interview, Tarnsman quickly dove into his first multiplayer game in order to research for the discussion. That must have been something productive. I'm sure he'll be able to equate to Du's bountiful experience in the domain. Isn't that right, Tarnsman?
I got slaughtered.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really what I was asking, but that's also good to know.
It was a great show.
Yes. Anyway, I still think there are certain things we can discuss, given our limited knowledge, in particular the segregation between the communities. And there are certain misconceptions, I feel, about multiplayer, particularly from Doomworld, from what I've noticed. Whether multiplayer is still alive, which is a ridiculous assertion to make. Why aren't there the more people using the more popular maps since, why aren't the more common, modern map sets being incorporated into the map pool or something like that sort. But here's the starting point I want to get across, because obviously for the CAC Awards, I was on board with KMX and Caesar, and, of course, there's the best multiplayer category. And Du, I know you took issue with our decision to put Whodunit as best multiplayer. And in hindsight, I can definitely see where you're coming from. Could you just expound upon that a little bit more? And what did you take issue with there?
Yeah, well, it was a philosophical problem. I don't have a problem with Whodunit getting a CAC award.
Sure.
Because it's innovative and it's fun and everything, I just feel that it's there were maps that were better than the maps that are provided with Whodunit. Mm-hmm. And this comes from the core of the problem is that you have mods and warts, if I should call it that.
Yeah.
Whodunit is just a mod. It modifies everything about Doom. And my favorite for Gecko Wars was just a map set for already pre-existing, different mod.
Yeah.
CTF. My favorite was, Velocity CTF.
Yes.
And.
Which I've actually heard about, surprisingly. I'm not that clueless. Yeah.
And my feeling was that, Whodunit got the idea word just because it's something new, something fresh, but it hasn't stood the test of time. Maybe in 2 years, no one will play Whodunit anymore. CTF has been here for 10 years or so, and this is a new map set that brings fresh blood for it. So it's CTF is already an integral part of Doom. Mm-hmm. Whodunit, it may or may not withstand. I have no idea. So this is why I took issue with the award, and why I told you that probably the awards need a structural change for the future.
In hindsight, I do agree. And it certainly seems like the sort of multiplayer experience that is more like a fad, I guess, that sort of setup. It's possible that it could prove popular.
This is something you also mentioned, that there's the rift between Doom World and the multiplayer community. I won't dive into that directly, but basically, the people who decided on the awards, which was you and Zazer, I feel you just got a glimpse of the multiplayer community, and you just decided, okay, this is fun, this really interests me, and it can capture my attention for I don't know how much long. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, it's a novelty, it's a novelty mod. And it fascinates you for some period.
Sure.
But will it stand for long enough to truly be, I don't know, in 5 years, will we look back and say, okay, that was a silly thing to decide?
Sure, I totally agree with you. And actually, I've been I can't speak for Zazer in wondering just how much multiplayer he's played. But I only dabbled in it enough to know that it's something I could recommend. But clearly I'm not really a part of the multiplayer community, didn't delve into it enough, and I would certainly accept the fact that it was sort of a mistake. But having considered
No. I wouldn't say it was a mistake.
No.
I just say that for me it was a problem that there weren't actually two different categories.
Sure.
Multiplayer
awards. That's what I was actually going to get to. I was going to suggest that we actually come up with have more than just one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have different categories.
Because something like Whodunit, which that's definitely a mod. To where for multiplayer, there's mods that change gameplay. Then there's just really good maps like Velocity, CTF, and then even in good maps, multiplayer is so diverse that you have really good CTF maps, really good, mass person deathmatch maps, really good dual maps, to the point where, one of the map sets I played earlier today, playing multiplayer to get to here, was a dual map set that was being run on a 10-person server. Dude, where was this? A giant clusterfuck. And, it's an example of really having to shine a light on all those different multiplayer categories and not just, when you say best multiplayer, I think it's really something that should get its own page in the CAC Awards.
Sure.
Or maybe just, three categories. But definitely something that has more, best multiplayer mod, best multiplayer map set, etc. And
yeah,
I agree with Dew on that one.
Yeah, this is actually what I brought up with Zazer, that there should be probably two different categories for, as you said, map sets and gameplay mods. I wouldn't say, well, that's wrong. It shouldn't be gameplay mods. It should be new gameplay mods, should I say. Because actually, I proposed Velocity for yeah, and Velocity is also a mod, technically, because it's Capture the Flag. It doesn't run with Vanilla, so it's also a mod. But, yeah. There should be like a novelty tech award for whatever new mod they can come up with, like extend Doom even more.
Sure.
And there should be the map set award for already established mods that already work for, I don't know, extended period of time and they still draw players to it. And people create more maps for it. Like, that's where the really good maps are made. Because if you get a new mod, you don't know if you are playing on good maps. It's just that you're just captured by the new gameplay. And you still don't know if it really works well. You're just, riding the wave, the novelty wave.
That's absolutely
true. So there should be, yeah.
Because, you know, with the new maps or a new mod, you know, how it changes the gameplay, great mappers haven't really had a chance to, you know, look at it and say, okay, well, how can we make good maps for it? It has to be played for a while before you can see the really great map sets, whereas with something like Capture the Flag or Standard Deathmatch that's been around for a while, you can get those right off the bat, or not right off the bat, but you can get those in bulk because you have a bunch of people who've been playing it for a while and, you know, understand the intricacies and know, you know, well, for this type of gameplay, this is what the map needs component-wise.
Yeah, actually, as far as I know, Whodunit was already in progress for like maybe 2 years or something. So it's not completely new and completely like noobish maps. They made the effort to make it work. So another of my favorites for the Keck Award was Kill Frenzy.
Mm.
And okay, comparing Kill Frenzy and Whodunit, that I would be okay with. Two new, wildly gameplay-changing mods with their own map sets battling it out. Okay, I'm okay with that. But well, comparing it to CTF maps, I don't feel it. Like, I don't think it works.
No. I mean, I think you could probably expand the multiplayer awards within the CAC awards to be able to have both, like, in the same way that you have standard CAC awards that are given to single player experience, you can have standard CAC awards that are given to multiplayer, yeah, of the standard sort, like Capture the Flag, Deathmatch, Duel, that sort of thing. Just have half and half, and then you also reserve one or two for gameplay modifications as well.
Yeah, but the thing that probably the fault why Keck Awards tend to pick these maps and not like the established map sets, yeah, is that these new modifications are so much easier to pick up. So whoever is writing the Keck Awards, it's easier for him to understand that this mod is fun, at least for a short time it's fun.
Sure. Okay, so yeah, so it would stand to be appreciated much more by...
Yeah, so hard to recognize that small differences between what makes a CTF almost a great map and a fantastic map.
It's also worth keeping in mind that the CAC Awards, I mean, being an award ceremony, quote-unquote, still sounds quite funny when I put it that way, the decision making behind what gets awarded can be quite complicated, I guess. I mean, there's a bit of a hoopla at the moment about how on earth we would go about awarding Backset next, which is episode 2 is going to come out Oh, well, I imagine all three episodes would come out certainly before December. In fact, if it didn't, that would be expected, actually, no, now that I... but, yeah, that's split up into three parts, and so being the size that it is, you can't really award it three times. I mean, that's a very simple example, but, yeah, it can be quite complicated, the decision process. I'm not saying that decision process in its all its complexity extended to have done it.
Yeah. This also ties to the other thing, that... it's mostly laymen doing the multiplayer awards.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Again, I can't speak for Sasa, but it's true of me, to say the least.
Oh no!
We've recovered. We've recovered.
We had technical difficulties.
It's okay.
Oh no.
Two horn in an edit. That's fine.
That's fine. Going back to what Du was saying, yeah, he's correct that the Cackle Awards generally are done by people who mostly play single player.
True enough.
That and I really think that with the new formatting of having you, KMX, and Zazer, I think a fourth person could be brought on who's really multiplayer.
Absolutely.
Definitely, just because I think it's unfair to the multiplayer community and to the multiplayer mappers to not have somebody who really, you know, plays multiplayer judging those map sets.
Mm-hmm. Totally true. I wonder if we can move on. Sorry.
That's actually tying to the other problem we discussed.
Yeah.
That there's not enough people in the Doomworld community that would be connected with the multiplayer community. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I was already cut off or something, that I said that Ralphus was asked to do the Keck Awards as one of the upstanding members of the multiplayer community, but sure, he didn't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
If I would be asked to do it, I would be obviously biased, like...
It's very good then that this has been brought to our attention and consideration so early in the year.
There's like three or four people who would be able to do that and call themselves qualified to do that on Doomworld, that really know the details of everything, of all the politics of the multiplayer and everything. So yeah. There's a problem with deciding on this.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's been brought to our consideration so early in the year, so we'll have time to be able to assemble that in time for December. I don't think there's any harm in having set up like that. It could be only be beneficial. So as we've touched upon already, as you were talking about just there very briefly, there isn't a lot of interest in multiplayer. Or at least as the multiplayer community knows it, in Doomworld. This is clearly a problem, I think, especially considering that Doomworld is, I think, the biggest base for the Doom community. So being able to win over Doomworld a little bit more to sort of promote, things beyond, you know, Zed Demons, sort of Thursday Night Frag Fest or whatever it is they have, that's pretty much the only multiplayer thing that crops up, and that doesn't get all that much attention from what I've noticed. I mean, it's clearly a problem. How do you think that could be fixed? Do you think it can be fixed? Do you think it's possible to remedy?
Well, this is such a complex issue because,
yeah.
You know, Zed Demon actually, especially Zed Demon, is obviously not a Doomworld favorite. And I'm being really, really political here, politically correct.
Uh-huh. I'm aware of the conflict. I know that much. I've read up on some of the history behind. Yeah.
Basically, the multiplayer community is the Demon, Skulldag, and Odomax, and of these three, the stereotype would be the Demon are the admin Nazis that ban everything who doesn't comply with them.
I feel like we're just into a minefield. Yeah, go on.
The Andromium is the port for retarded kids.
Rick Zandorum. Yep, sure. Go ahead.
And Odamax has no players.
I actually tried to play on Odamax earlier today, and there were three people on it.
Astounding.
Yeah, can you give me 10 seconds? I need to let the dog out of the room.
That's perfectly fine. Actually, no, that's not fine. You're not allowed to leave. We're tethering you to the chair. No, go ahead. That's fine. You go. Go. And see what happens, Tarnsman, when the key player of our discussion leaves. Left nothing to say.
We're left with nothing to say, yes, you're correct. Mainly because we're both scrubs when it comes to multiplayer.
I did incidentally review a couple of multiplayer sets. I was able to scrounge together a few people to review Chillax and Agaz.Wad, both of which were very fun, I have to admit. And actually, I have played a heck of a lot of Doom multiplayer, but it's all been via LAN, which I imagine is a... Well, I mean, you're disregarding the community and everything. It doesn't call into question anything of that sort. That's just the experience of playing multiplayer. Different issue entirely. I'm not sure how clued in... do you have any relationship with IDL or any other sort of board?
With IDL? Well, I'm actually the second person in command in IDL.
There you go. There you go. Just why don't we just put my ignorance on a pedestal and then just give it a good polish so it glints in the sun with all my stupidity. Yeah. So I'm not very familiar with the IDL, as you just saw. Perhaps you could where does it get all its members from? Like is it surviving well these days?
That's actually an ongoing issue. Like it's the IDL has its own forums, and like the future of the IDL is one of the hottest topics for basically its entire existence. I should explain this because IDL started as a sort of a rogue organization.
Mm-hmm.
IDL was founded by Ralphus a bunch of years. I'm not exactly sure about the time scale here, but basically Ralphus one day got banned from the Demon forever. And
you're reading it like a fairy tale. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's yeah, gleaning into this is really, really complicated. So, but he wanted to play the game. So basically, the skeptics are saying that he founded Odamax just for the reason because he couldn't play the Demon anymore. So basically, Odamax is just a protest.
It's a bastard
force.
Child.
Yeah. But basically, he founded IDL as a Capture the Flag League, and he basically attracted most of the prominent CTF players of North America. Mm-hmm. So IDL became like the league with the most concentrated talent when it came to CTF, the probably most popular mod in Doom. And it grew because, let's face it, Ralph is a great businessman. He does PR like nobody else. So he expanded IDL. He attracted overseas players, and that's how I got into IDL.
Mm-hmm.
They started drafting European players, even despite their ping disadvantage. So IDL got huge, despite the fact that it was in a gray legal area where the Demon administration straight out hated it and banned anyone who would propagate IDL in these Demon forums.
Man, that should have been there. Sounds like exciting times.
Well, this is still going on, more or less. So basically, the thing was that Odemax at that time was still a thing in, it was a work in progress. And it was to be for many, many years more. And Zdemon was actually locked in version 108. Mm-hmm. That was a version that actually lasted for like 6 years, I think, mm-hmm. with just minor progress, with just so things were in this weird state of being locked that IDL was using Zdemon to play. It was also fighting with the administration, and everyone who would promote IDL would get banned on the spot. So basically, you would get an increasing list of players who would get banned from the master server of Zdemon. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, it was clearly becoming obvious that IDL was the center of like the skilled CTF play. So there you go. You had like this unresolvable situation where IDL and Zdemon hated each other, but they were still playing the same game.
The end, Finn.
No, it's not nearly enough.
Of course, but it's, then, you told it like a fairy tale. I just feel prompted to sort of...
Yeah. Then 2 years ago, you had the big move where IDL decided that Odemax was ready. Now IDL is played on Odemax. Mm-hmm. And now you have like a... tons of players complaining that Odemax wasn't ready and that Zdemon was better in the old state because Odemax is still a work in progress. And in the meantime, Zdemon 109 finally came out. Actually, that there was a running joke about either Zdemon 109 or Duke Nukem Forever, which one would come first, because... Yeah, it was a race.
Astounding. But I mean, it seems to me that most of the players then, most of the new players that come into Odemax, are they just circulated from either Zandrum or Zdemon?
I wouldn't say you get new players to Odemax.
No.
It's like new players come to either Zdemon or Zandronum, and... Right. Then someone realizes they are good enough, and someone invites them to Odemax.
Okay.
That's Odemax's hugest flaw. It doesn't attract new players at all. It doesn't have like this PR that people would just Google it on the internet and would be like, okay, right. I can do this.
Well, that's clearly one of the biggest problems. I mean, isn't that something that wants to be addressed? If they want to raise popularity?
This is also a huge problem in relations to Doomworld forums, because obviously Odemax is the only port that Doomworld kind of respects from the oral standpoint. Like, it's open source and it doesn't have a childish community. So yeah, people on Doomworld are like, okay, I would play on Odemax if there was something going on.
Wait, keep using these terms like childish community, because we want controversy on Tango TV.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, Justin, yes. Phoning in, not that we have a number. And, you know,
This is no controversy.
Get him off the air, he's making a mockery of my source.
this is not a controversy, this is actually, like, I always found, Doomworld is kind of nice and solid. Like, okay, you still get retards who get banned on this portal or something like that. But you have to cross some serious lines to get banned on Doomworld. Mm-hmm. Multiplayer communities are much more rude Like, it's really obnoxious. there's so much you can just go with, and the admins will just not care about it, because, as they say, multiplayer is about shit talk. So,
which, you know, that applies to multiplayer of all games, really. I mean, first-person shooter multiplayer just seems to attract, you know, the worst in people and bring it out.
Yeah, so actually, some people from Doomworld, they will just pop in into multiplayer. They will just go into a server, and they will be verbally abused by, I don't know, some kids, because they don't immediately play their, like, contributing to a team or something, or getting the most frags of everyone. Yeah. It's competitive to a point of ridiculousness.
Hmm. I mean, the competition clearly isn't in the right place, which should be in the maps. Healthy sort of competition. I did actually watch a couple of streams by Rotking.
Doomworld competes in creating maps, and you can take like a time in evaluating these maps and everything. But in multiplayer, it's just about getting more frags and calling the other guy a faggot.
So, here's an interesting thought, because I was watching some IDL matches streamed by Rocking. They're pretty old now. I wouldn't have gone to the effort of sort of catching up with them live, or even wouldn't have been aware of it. But do you think if you showed some of the like higher profile matches, like between teams, from the IDL, like showcase them on Doomworld or something like that, people would be interested? Or do you think it would only be interesting to those who are already part of the multiplayer community and are clued in as to what's going on, sort of thing?
Yeah, well, the high-profile games are fantastic. They really bring out the best. Like, the high-profile games, there's actually a fairly closed, small, top-tier level of people who know each other. And these play these games, mm-hmm. and it's fantastic to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
So these should be entertaining even for the outsiders. The problem with IDL games is that it's a team game. It's really hard to know what's really going on because you are watching just one guy's view, and all the action could be happening elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So you could just spend your whole time watching someone who was kind of unlucky to just be at the boring wheel in the whole machinery and not really contributing to all the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So watching a CDF game requires a sort of skill to pick out who you should watch, and also get lucky to spot the most important bits.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And, I mean, I've talked a little bit about the new members, and you say that there aren't really any new members of Otomix. They sort of get invited in after they enter either of the other two multiplayer domains. But do you recognize any names from other communities that you know coming through into multiplayer? Are they always just from people from out of the blue? I mean, I'm sort of surprised you're getting any at all, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, it seems to me that, I mean, again, I'm not clued in, but it's just on the downward slope, or am I just wrong, or is it still thriving?
Well, nowadays, I'd say that the most newcomers come from Zendronum. Like, they kind of they outgrow Zendronum, and they become interested in more competition.
Mm-hmm. I guess Zendronum is actually an interesting case, because some people do actually attempt single player stuff for it. I mean, and people use that just as a source port for their regular
game. Yeah, because
I guess it could serve as a sort of transition. People come into Zendronum for one reason, then all of a sudden they might become interested in multiplayer.
Yeah,
and they transition away.
Because Zendronum is the only port that kind of follows the Doom 2 2.x version.
Mm.
Like the both the Demon and Odamex are branched of the Doom 1.23, I think. So Zendronum is the closest to the actual Z-Doom, and people feel like, yeah, if they make something in Z-Doom, they can play it with their friends on Zendronum, and it won't work on the other ports because they use some advanced scripting or something. So it's definitely the port that's most accessible to newcomers in this regard.
One of the primary testers for Bathys Outer Next, Sele, uses Zendronum as her primary playing port.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Mad disrespect.
All right, let's not laugh at her. That's not very nice. Anyway,
I don't mean it, because you can still play this gameplay on everything that simulates Doom.
Let's talk about what makes a good multiplayer map, because it just occurs to me that that's an area of discussion that
has
some sort of depth. And you know what made me think about it was that there's actually yet another community project on Doomworld, no less, that's come up. It's saying, all of you who know how to make multiplayer maps, let's go together and create a deathmatch megawatt, which of course always happens with 32 and 24, but...
I'm actually surprised that the premise is that all of you know how to make a multiplayer map, because that's not true. That's clearly not true. Actually, my entree to playtesting was more or less 32 in 24.9, mm-hmm. which was a 101-1 session, and I was really horrible when reviewing it. I pretty much said that almost every map in that was utter shit, and all the others should stop mapping.
I love it. This is what we need to have on the program. I said it before. I'm going to keep repeating it because it's true.
But then like Essel came out and was like, yeah, but this is just a learning experience for us. We don't know really what we are doing, so we need some help. So for 32 in 24.10, I already became fully integrated into the process, and I gave feedback on the RAM, which led to me being very exhausted because I worked, like, the mappers worked for 4 hours to create a map, but I worked for 24 hours in a row, pretty much, because I gave feedback to everyone. But people thought that it worked better this way. So, yeah, this is actually how I got into playtesting.
Cool. I mean, it actually seems to me that speed mapping, to me, is more synonymous with deathmatch, or it's more synonymous with multiplayer than it is with single player, to me. To me, at least. I'm not sure that's the same for most other people.
This is also an interesting point, because there's a lot of maps, multiplayer maps, that were created, pretty much the layout was created like in an hour or something, and they somehow worked. They somehow worked, and they became a staple in the community. Mm-hmm. And you can never tell, because you will have let's say 5 out of 100 that will be successful like this.
Sure. And then, of course, you have maps like Space DM9, which you get worked on for a heck of a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Just appear to get no coverage at all.
There's also an example of that in CTF, where you have a perfect contrast between Smart CTF, which was a Chain Dudes project that it was developed for like a few years, and Chain Dude would always just move an item by 5 pixels or something, 5 units, because he wasn't satisfied with the way you ran across it or something like that.
Sure.
Ridiculous nitpicking. And on the other hand, you had 32 in 24.4,
mm-hmm.
which was the first CTF session. And
no,
actually,
it's
kind of the most successful session, because it has many maps from that made it into the IDL selection megawatt. But that session was like a half of the maps were successful, or not really half of the maps, let's say 1/3, and the other 2/3 were completely not getting it right, because at that point no one really knew what they should make for CTF, so they were just guessing. Some of these guesses worked really great, and they are still used in the competitive scene to this day, and the rest is just forgotten, and it's for good that it's forgotten.
Actually,
And the speed mapping produces this kind of stuff, because you get wild, radical ideas, and some of these just make it through and just work. With these maps that you create for 3 years, you're just compromising. You're just asking people for their opinions, and it just kind of gets closer to some center of everyone's mm-hmm. expectations.
Sure.
So speed mapping forwards the standards in some way, because it brings something new.
Okay, so the maps that are typically used in the IDL, for example, is there there's a lot of focus going on to balancing those maps for gameplay, like meticulously, like down to the last clip, or is it or do people actually just switch around maps because people can speed map them quick enough that, you know, they can just create an alternative and change the map for?
Well, the way IDL is played is that we use the IDL selection word, which is basically a really illegal way of producing, because it's we just cycle through all the CTF maps in existence, and we pick the best, and we compile them in one megawatt. Which,
well, that's a very interesting way to go about it, actually, because
yes,
I imagine there are
illegal. It's illegal because it ignores all the permissions. But Ralph has said, "Fuck it." So that's what's
and Ralph is
going
good
on.
At PR. He convinced
yes.
you all to be criminals.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Astounding.
Actually,
wow.
Which is kind of funny, because he got banned from Zedemon in the first place for saying that Zedemon allows, or more precisely, get what the Zedemon's tool to download what allowed people to download iWatts from the internet.
That's a fantastic irony. I love it.
Yes,
everything
it is.
Absolutely fantastic. It's pretty interesting to me, actually, that one of the 32 and 24s was it 32 and 24 3 that was single player, and that basically gathered absolutely no interest.
I'm not sure. I think 6 was 6. No, maybe 6 was.
I actually thought number 2 or 3 was okay. Yeah. TGH has actually just pointed out on IC that it says.
Well, I know Diet was. It was called 32 in 24 Diet. That was single player.
So those didn't pick up at all, from what I know, or at least the first one certainly didn't. It was considered something of a failure.
Because I think making a proper single player map just needs more time.
Okay, so you don't think it's necessary that people find it. Speed mapping deathmatch maps is more enjoyable or otherwise easier to do?
It's easier to pick up.
Okay.
Because you just create the layout. You don't really concern yourself about creating monster scenarios, because
sure.
you just expect people to do all the hard work for you by actually playing it and finding the good spots.
Tarnsman, you're a speed mapper, aren't you? Why don't you see if you can get in the multiplayer action?
I actually when I very first entered the Doom community and 32 and 24/11 got announced, I looked at the forums and I actually tried to make a map for it and I just gave up, like, before even doing anything. I was like, this is garbage, I hate it, I suck, bye. And I really haven't touched anything about multiplayer mapping since.
Well, you know what, as soon as something comes along that isn't Capture the Flag, I'll probably have a go, because I wanted to enter for the for number 11,
that's actually a shame, yeah. because 11, I consider 11 the best in the series, like overall quality.
That just means that Tarnsman's would have been overlooked, because it would have been by far the worst.
Oh, yeah, he needs to be the star of it.
Oh, absolutely, it would have been the worst. I really would like to, try my hand at multiplayer mapping. It's just something that I haven't, gotten into. One of the things that... The more I, refine my mapping style and map more and more, multiplayer maps are just, or good single player maps are just multiplayer maps.
Hmm.
But with monsters. Like, I think it's been said before, and I agree with it, that, a good single player layout is just a multiplayer layout, but, changed a little bit. The principles of a multiplayer layout still apply in single player, and, I forget who said. But, I think the more I look at it, I look at multiplayer maps, there are several areas of multiplayer maps that really could be repurposed into single-player areas if, you made a couple tweaks to it.
Actually, you remind me very much of 40 Ounces Motoneuf, which was deliberately intended to be a deathmatch layouts which incorporated single-player. With one split in single-player, you could. And that worked out very well, I thought. I'm not sure if it's actually played at all. It would surprise me if it wasn't. There you go.
Well, I've listened to 40 Ounces self-interview.
Monologue, yeah.
I'm just not going to do an interview, guys. I'm just going to interview myself.
he sent me those UAC... Ultra 2 layouts, and I gave him some pointers for the multiplayer layouts. So yeah, I actually think his idea is sort of good. I don't think all of his multiplayer layouts he gave me were winners. Like some of them were stretching it really far, but kind of can work. If you close your eyes a bit, but yeah, I admire his idea that it should be compatible with pretty much everything.
Mm. Yeah, and he's doing a pretty good job of incorporating multiplayer elements into a single player experience. Yes, which is something that many people don't do nowadays. I've noticed, and people back to that next. Fair enough. I mean, it's still a lot to sort of shoehorn.
Actually, that's what I told Essel and all the guys. Just fuck multiplayer. Uh-huh. Don't bother.
Yeah.
Because no one is going to play it in multiplayer. Because the maps are just too big and just too single player oriented. They rely on monster tricks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make that into a good multiplayer map.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. You really have to start with the multiplayer core to make it work in multiplayer.
For the final map of episode 3. I had to make an arena to fight a cool boss monster that Vader's making, and the arena was designed on me attempting to make a multiplayer map. So when that comes out, the final area of that map will be my shitty multiplayer map.
The one that your debut.
Yeah.
The one multiplayer map in all 3 Back to Saturn X megawatts. I'm looking forward to that.
Um. But going into multiplayer map design, there's a lot of things in multiplayer map design that get used a lot in single player map design that when they get applied to multiplayer, I really think it's one of those things that I don't think fares very well in multiplayer, like map symmetry. Like, you can get away with a symmetrical map in single player a lot more than you can in multiplayer, I feel.
Well, yeah, you can get away with symmetry in multiplayer maps. That's true. But to be honest, people don't prefer it because it kind of confuses people. If you have mirroring spawns, people get confused.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying in multiplayer, it's harder to do symmetry well because of that. Because yeah, it confuses.
Oh. Well, yes and no. On the other hand, it makes picking them up easier because you have less to learn, which is often a driving point for a lot of players. Like if they get slaughtered on a map, they just say, fuck it, this is a bad map, and I don't want to play it anymore. And it's easier to pick up a symmetrical arena, and they will just, oh yeah, this is a great map, because I immediately destroyed all these guys, because I can pick up the SSG and fight with it. So I actually really value when symmetry is kind of there, but it's done properly.
It's disguised a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, now that you brought that up, I'm thinking about other trends in multiplayer games that I imagine would... some people would like to sort of shy away from, and maybe that's the reason that they're not particularly interested in mapping for multiplayer, for example. Like, the insistency that you have to have an SSG in almost every map,
well,
for example. Or that certain setups always have to be the case. It sort of limits the freedom of what you can do with a multiplayer map in a way that's not desirable for most people, perhaps.
Well, the basic thing about multiplayer is that you will be always safe when you make like a circular layout. You should always have escape routes ready with multiple entrance points into a room. If it's just a bunch of hallways with dead end rooms, that's not going to work.
No.
The only map that truly makes that work is 2v2 map 1, and that's a legendary case of just the mappers fucking up really hard, so hard that it kind of works in the opposite direction. And map 1 is actually, for skilled players, it's the most balanced map ever made by complete freak accident.
It also happens to be map 1, yeah, it's fantastic. It could easily have been like map 21 or something, something retarded like that.
Yeah, you it's just, it could have been any of the Doom 2 maps, but it was just map 1 that works in a magical fashion.
And like, this whole time I thought it was just because it was map 1 and people didn't bother to explore beyond that. And
No, it's, no, the people put more science into playing map 1 competitively than any other map ever. Like, seriously, I mean this, there are fucking books written on playing map 1. Like, look up Doom Bible by Devastation. Seriously, he wrote lengthy articles about how to treat map 1 from every spawn, everything about it. It's ridiculous. Really, the map has four spawns, and it's ridiculously imbalanced. It only works because of a couple of bugs, pretty much. It works only because of bugs that the mappers couldn't have known about at the time. Like, basically, it gives you all the weapons. If you spawn on the ledge, you get all the weapons. And all the other spawns get nothing. They're pistol spawns, and one of the spawns gets, well, chainsaw. Chain gun. Mm-hmm. And it only works because in the in the exit room, or, well, the room, we call it plasma room, pretty much, because there's a plasma on the stand, you can bump it. And there's no way the ID guys knew about that.
No.
And just because of that, and it actually takes skill to bump it, like to grab it just by running into the pillar and grab the plasma from it. That takes skill. So anyone just going into map one and starting to play it, they will just, oh, I can't take this, I need to call the lift down and jump on it. They will get slaughtered, totally slaughtered. But if you watch two skilled guys playing map one, it's the most skilled show you can ever get. Like, it equals the best Quake Live matches you can get. Like, that's where it is. That's how beautiful Doom can be. Mm-hmm. So, but taking map one as an example is pretty much suicide. You can't mimic Doom 1, Doom Map 1, which is currently Rough King is attempting to do it, I think. Yeah. So.
Good luck there.
Yeah, Doom 2, the way I did it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we will try to make it work like a Map 1 for several months, and it will come out not that good.
Well, yeah, it's astounding to think that the most popular map in multiplayer is one that succeeds because it's inherently broken.
Yes.
Opposed to so many other maps being so carefully balanced and made specifically to be enjoyed in multiplayer.
And you can actually divide one-on-one players by how they value map one. Like, the Zandronum people, they absolutely despise map 1, and there's this, they have their own dual compilation of maps, like the IDL has a compilation of CDF maps. Zandronum has Dual 32 by AlexMax, which is pretty much the best of dual maps of all times. And you will pretty much see most of the Zandronum guys cry, why is map 1 still there? Like, it's the shittiest map in the set. Why is it still there? I have to play it when I pick random.
Oh, man. So, why do you think Space Jam 9 is not so popular? I mean, is it just because of the how taxing it is on the system? Because, you know, I haven't actually played it, but I've zoomed around it a bit, and it does lag my computer to shit.
I wouldn't say so, because it's Zandronum bad, and basically these people are used to playing like all out war or whatever it's called, and other these all mods
instead of gameplay gimmicks,
Stronghold and everything. These are huge mods that tax your system as well.
Right. Oh, okay.
So it's not like Zandronum players have shit computers. They don't.
Okay. It's about what they're interested in.
Yes.
So I imagine if Odamex, for example, had the capabilities of Zandronum, like that, and then that was in there, that would get a heck of a lot more coverage, I imagine.
Perhaps, but it's also like exposure.
Yeah.
Especially in Zandemon, it's about getting into the tracks of what people are getting. Are already used to, like, it's kind of hard to get into their brain and make them play your maps. They just go there daily to play their dose of Brit 10 or something like that, which is what Tansman played. So yeah, Space DM9 was in a bad spot because It was released on a port that didn't care, and the ports that may have cared can't run it, and possibly they would say it's just three maps worth of playing, and we want more or something. We need a compilation or something.
Sure.
Space DM9, I've actually run through it, obviously not in multiplayer, but I did look at the maps, and they're amazing, and it really, I can't say the gameplay of them, but visually they're very striking and quite nice to look at.
They're
holographic totally steps.
The most beautiful multiplayer maps ever made, like easily, hands down.
Totally. What was I going to say just now? Talisman, I don't suppose you could help me. No, of course not. How could you?
I can't read your mind, Alfonso.
No, no, you should. We should definitely get one. I'm sure it will come back. Ah, yes, there we are. Found it in the recesses of my brain. Here comes the question. Get ready. It's going to hit you like a curveball. No, it's not.
Shaken.
Sure. So I imagine there are quite a few projects on the go at the moment for multiplayer, but how many of those are actually made known to Doomworld, to the community? I mean, are all these things being made in the open? Are we aware of these projects? Or are there some things going on behind the scenes at the moment that we're not aware of?
Yeah, no. Doomworld is pretty much in the dark.
Yep.
when it comes to multiplayer projects.
Uh-huh.
Basically, well, I reviewed Velocity CTF, but it's not up yet. Mm-hmm. But basically, I explained that the world was in, it's a 32 map megawatt of CDF maps. So yeah, that's a lot.
And a lot.
It was a work in progress for 2 years.
And
It was a work in progress for 2 years. So basically, it took a lot of time to be made. But I'm not sure Doomworld was ever in the loop for any time of that. Mm-hmm. So basically, Doomworld just doesn't get informed about these projects.
It seems to me that there's actually a lot of needless segregation between communities here. I mean, just what we pointed out now. I mean, is there really any reason to not to have Doomworld clued in? I mean, you could quite easily like establish a thread or something, and even if it doesn't get any popularity, at least you can say it's there, and you know, at least there's some effort is being made to sort of reconnect.
I think this is a lot of. This community rift comes from the ancient politics, like the movers and shakers of the multiplayer ports.
Sure, I don't really see that. I mean, that has to dissipate at some point. It might even be at that point already.
Does it? I really want to share your optimism.
I'm so naive. Oh dear.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't know. I really can't see some people reconciling at all. Like,
optimism, it would come from the fact that the Doom community is changing extremely rapidly these days.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
I mean, not necessarily in multiplayer, but it could spill over. I mean,
yeah. It's already spilling over, like the multiplayer events. It started with the Thursday night survivals that started advertising themselves at Doomworld regularly. Yep. That's what I consider a turning point.
Yeah.
Because at that point, suddenly you had a obnoxious people telling you every week that you should come and play the demon. And actually,
it's interesting to know that almost as soon as that got started up on Doomworld, an Odomax equivalent also fired up.
Yeah, suddenly, immediately, Odomax started promoting the Saturday night Nitro sessions, and I'm not sure if the demon picked up on promoting themselves on Doomworld yet. But yeah.
I mean, that to me, just from what I see there, seems like a more healthy sort of competitive.
Yes, because
beneath the surface, I'm guessing it's still.
I think it's because the Thursday Night Survival got started by people who weren't affected by the ancient, you know, fights and whatever the feuds and all these hates, vendetta issues. So they just said, why aren't we doing it this in the first place? Why aren't we adverting? Yeah, it seems so logical for these guys to just promote themselves.
Yeah. And
do more.
I guess that's the reason behind my optimism.
So
noticing the sheer number of new players that are coming in, sort of oblivious to all this.
Yeah, new generations that are unaffected by the old feuds can overcome this rift, hopefully.
Was there anything else that you wanted to discuss in particular, or Tarnsman, who's been curiously quiet for this entire time?
Jew's been just massively enlightening to the point where I just have been.
Your input would only be an obstruction to this entire process.
Where I'm like a small child with my hands on my cheeks just absorbing the information. No, I do agree that it's nice that we have new community members entering the multiplayer scene that aren't bogged down by the collective drama that has led to some very interesting tales that we've been told today, such as the creation of IDL and whatnot.
And I've only scratched the surface. Like, multiplayer is the center of drama.
I bet you have. Honestly, we need to be able to create the platform on which we can have more discussions like this. I mean, I don't necessarily mean on Tango TV, because there's only so much we can do here with our limited brains, Tomsman and myself, and possibly Tango. But yeah, just being able to open up the board. So it's good to sort of end on an optimistic note like that and saying that perhaps there is room for growth of multiplayer within the Doom community, perhaps.
For the main thing that interests me is just how to make multiplayer more integrated into the largest Doom community. Like we've been saying, that Doom World is segregated from multiplayer, and I think that that's kind of detrimental to the point where it would be nice to see if that could be rectified, more so than just adding like new blood to the multiplayer community.
Sure.
This is where Odomex could profit, actually, because both as a demon and Zendronum are historically not really ports of choice of Doomworld members. So Odomex could profit because Doomworld people are not tied down by the multiplayer stereotypes, like I can't connect to Odomex and get any game going because there are no players currently, and now I need to play right now. So yeah, Odomex is slowly building a reputation for itself as the port of choice of
the definitive
maybe port of choice for Doomworld. Well, definitive port of choice is not really a term I would use, because there's something that probably will never get finished, but Ledna, if you're familiar with him, he started EECS, which is pretty much a multiplayer port for Eternity.
Uh-huh.
Which was extremely interesting because it will be the first multiplayer online source not based on Zdoom. Mm-hmm. But sadly, probably Ladna is, I don't know if he's ever going to finish it, because he basically started it as a one-man project, and I really don't see him finishing it by just himself. There's no way. I think this was already discussed in the source code discussion, that people are just jumping up to create their own ports And then they realized.
I did suggest it.
What a huge task. But what a huge task it is. And they just give up.
I still think it's a possibility that.
Yeah. And actually, Lana isn't a naive guy, so he knew what he was getting into, but. I don't know. It needs too much time. And I believe that, after some time, real life issues will just get you and you won't be able to progress. So you need at least someone to work with you.
Yeah, it's a hand along to, sure.
Yeah. Hmm. There's no way you can do it single-handedly.
Sure. Well, look, I mean, I understand we only scratched the surface today, as you say. So, again, I really hope, I doubt this is going to do much simply because the popularity of Tengo TV is only so much at the moment, but perhaps, you know, could be a start. We could see a resurgence. I'd certainly like something of the sort. But I'm not going to put this down as a multiplayer discussion. I'm going to put it down as a multiplayer educational discussion. I feel like I've been educated today.
Tarzan in particular,
who's been enthralled to the point of silence the entire time.
Absolutely. I mean, why cut off Dew when he's making such interesting and educational points that... this has been an eye-opening experience, and especially to the drama relating to multiplayer.
Yes, sure. So this is something I would like to pursue more in the future. I'll certainly be looking into new promotional tactics or something of the sort, because, you've really opened my eyes a little bit to this issue. You've almost made it a bit of a tragedy, to be honest. You've set it up like that. Anyway. But yes, let's end on a note of optimism. This has been Tango TV as Program B, Episode 4. Joined by Tarzan, somewhat, today. And Dew, entirely, for this discussion on multiplayer. Definitely like to have you back sometime in the future, perhaps when we're better versed. Are there any, what's the schedule like for IDL at the moment? I mean, how does it...
Well... IDL right now is finishing its current season, so there's one semi-final match left, and then there's the Master Bowl match. We call it that.
Well, there we go. That's a perfect opportunity for somebody. I mean, is there a stream that we can watch share to, perhaps?
Possibly,
because I saw Rocking Stream, as I think I mentioned previously, of one of the previous Super Bowls, in which everyone, all the observers were throwing their hands up in the air because every match kept ending in a draw, which apparently wasn't supposed to happen. I can't remember which Super Bowl that was, but it read like a rum.
Just needs a bit of proactivity on our side, and the stream can totally happen.
Absolutely. I'll see if I can get Rocky on the case again. Unless it's participating. Anyway, thanks very much for coming on the program. Thanks one and all for listening. And remember, another reminder that doomradio.org is indeed now established. We'll put up a link in the thread and we have some more information. Or at least Tango will, once upon a time. If ever. Thanks once again. Thanks for tuning in.